All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Hello, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can email me directly. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. My address for email contact is preacher@eastabbotville.org, and East Abbotville is one word. There's a statement in the book of Judges that is repeated over and over again. For instance, in Judges chapter 17, in verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, the question sometimes is asked, why should we study history? It's a dead subject about dead men. Well, George Santayana was quoted to say that those who refuse to learn from history are condemned to repeat it. And the one thing I think we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. We can find generation after generation making the same fatal mistakes. In fact, the smoker that watches his parents die of lung cancer, and then he himself will not give up the habit. You know, Paul told us the reason why that we should study the Old Testament. In Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And also in 1 Corinthians 10, after giving a long repeat of the history of the children of Israel, he said in verse 11, to sum it all up, now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. So we see then that we can read one such example in Judges, the second chapter, beginning with verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all of the days of the judges. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And then we find in verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. What can we learn from all of this? Well, I believe the first thing we can learn is that, religiously speaking, our society is not that far removed from the society of Israel at the time of the judges. We still find people today giving lip service to God. There in verse 19, it said, it came to pass when the judges were dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers. They followed other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. See, there is a distinct difference between obedience and compliance. We find that under the old law and during the time of Christ, the Jews complied with the law, but their obedience was another thing. In verse 18, it said, when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all of the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those that oppressed them and harassed them. See, how many times has God delivered us all from some very serious situation, only to see us to forget him after the storm had passed? There was a man working on a steep roof with his ladder, and he slipped and he found himself skidding uncontrollably for a fall, and sort of out of instinct he cried, "Oh God, help me." And it was just then that his pants snagged upon one of the loose nails that he was trying to repair. But when he regained his control, he said, "Well, Lord, it doesn't look like I need your help after all. This nail saved me." You know, our religious, quote, religious nation has, by and large, turned to idolatry, as Israel did. In verse 17 of what we read a moment ago, it said, "Yet they did not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so." You know, there are many folks that attend a church somewhere who have abandoned the one true God and have chased after the gods of false religion, the god of fun, the god of money, the god of pleasure, entertainment, the gods of power and prestige. And to covet after anything of this world, we're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, that is idolatry. He said, "Therefore put to death your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." You know, there are ways that the devil has us chasing our tails like pups. That's how the people acted in the time of the judges. They did as they pleased. They prayed earnestly to God in the tough times, then went back to the same lifestyle after the things eased up. We can look at our society and say, "Oh yes, we may be bad, but we're not that bad." But in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 through 32, he said, "If we could judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when you're judged, you're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." And the same idea is expressed out in our text that we read there in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. You know, we can find so many things to say about verse 2 of Judges 17. "The man said to his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from me and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ear, here is the silver with me. I took it.' And his mother said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my son.'" In this passage, what we have is a son steals from his mother. It doesn't matter who does the taking. A cesspool by any other name still smells just as bad. Cheating is stealing. And those that cheat on a test have taken something that they did not work for. How much confidence do you have in a surgeon who cheated on his medical exams? How much confidence would you place in an elected official that cheated on his wife? See, cheating is a way of life in our society. And sad to say, it's even in the religious world. You know, we may never know how many professed Christians cheat at business. Maybe they cheat on their taxes. How many hearts are broken by unfaithful spouses. But look what the mother did when she found the money missing. She put a curse on it. Do we ever curse things in our society? In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Our speech sometimes betrays us. Sometimes we are far from being a Christian nation. James said in James chapter 3, verse 9, "With it," talking about the tongue, "we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? But see, Micah's mother had a problem with restraint. You know, I dare say that we had the very same problem, not only in our nation, but in our families. She didn't correct, nor did she chastise her son for what he did that was wrong. You know, we don't prove our love for our children when we put blinders on to their actions. Remember the boy who was caught vandalizing property in Singapore a few years ago? Remember what his father was doing? That his father was going to sue the government for arresting him. In Proverbs 29 and verse 15, it says, "The rod and rebuke give correction, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." You see, rebellion in the home must not be tolerated. That's one way that a man can guarantee that he'll not qualify as an elder, as stated in Titus 1 and verse 6, as well as in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. In verses 4 through 6 of Judges, notice what it said. "Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took the 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and had an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who had become a priest." You know, we have different religions in one family. Mixed marriages in a religious sort make a huge obstacle to overcome. It can either destroy or it can weaken most marriages. I don't know of anyone who has said that if their marriage was happier or more satisfying because of the religious diversity. Micah did what so many people are doing in the religious world today, starting their own church and then appointing their children as heirs to their throne. How many televangelists have sons that preach as well? It's just like carrying on the family business. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and dead as he is appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables." There in that sixth verse of Judges 17, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes." Micah recognized no king, and neither does the majority of the religious world today. Many of us turn our backs on the king that now reigns. In John 18 and verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Just because they saw no king didn't mean that there wasn't any law. We are still under God's law today. 1 John 3, verse 4, "Whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Jesus is our king, and he is ruling by his word. Do we recognize his word? Do we follow his word? If not, we're just like the Israel of old, when it said that in the days there was no king, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Friends, we appreciate you listening. We see our time is gone. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM, and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.